We all have a story to tell. Let's tell yours. Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast with your host, Jason. Come together and listen to journey stories and more from interesting people. Welcome your host, Jason.
Today I have Mindy Zemrek from Mindy Casting. How are you doing today, Mindy?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. It's great to have you. Mindy, what is your casting company?
So my casting name and brand that kind of everyone's starting to pick up on is just Mindy Casting. And so I cast a bunch of different reality shows, typically anything from Shark Tank, Beyond the Tank, a bunch of shows for ABC in the past. I worked on Idol years ago. But there's all kinds of stuff that I've worked on in my bio and everything. You can go to Facebook, obviously my page or Instagram, and check me out. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of specialize in reality TV, non-scripted shows.
Let's go back. Did you always dream of doing that, being a casting producer?
No, never. Casting, I didn't really know about casting. Growing up, I'm from a small town in Maine. And so growing up, I wanted to be, for a short period of time, I wanted to be an animator for Disney. And then that, I grew out of that. And then eventually I wanted to be a lawyer only because I heard they made a lot of money. I didn't know anything beyond that. And then once I got to college, my freshman year, I was a psychology major because I thought I was going to become a psychologist. And then halfway through my freshman year, I was having a conversation with my dad one night on the phone, and he was telling me how one of his cousins and my uncle, his brother, were all working on this film festival. And I was like, wait a minute, I want to work in film. And I had never picked up a camera in my life. I was never one of those kids running around making movies. And so I enrolled into a photography class, and then couple of months later, I decided I wanted to transfer and pursue film and cinema television. And I applied to probably 8 different schools, and then eventually got into USC, Southern California, which is the number one film school in the country. And I did not know that. I didn't know it was the Trojans. I didn't know anything. I didn't know it was private, how much it cost, nothing. I just heard they had a good film program. And then I got in, and I actually thought when I graduated that I wanted to be an editor. I loved sitting in the editing room and the edit booths and just kind of cutting everything together like a puzzle. And then I needed a job after I graduated. And my first job out, I actually was a camp counselor for a summer film program for high school students. And then after that, I just needed a job. So I took a job as a PA for American Idol. I did an open call for them. And then I ended up getting another job as a production safety manager for the show Las Vegas with James Caan and Josh Duhamel. And then after that, I just needed another job. And I ended up landing a job as a casting assistant. And then the rest kind of just took off. I ended up really enjoying it. I liked getting to know people and their stories, and I was fortunate to start to travel a little bit for it. And I just eventually worked my way up with the person that I worked with at the time. And then we landed Shark Tank. And when I started Shark Tank, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what equity was. I don't have a business background. But I never thought I would ever be working in casting because I didn't know anything about it. But it turns out I really enjoy it. And I'm really fortunate that I get to do what I do. I love what I do. I have a great time.
Do you believe that your experience in life and those earlier jobs have helped you in the casting side of things?
Absolutely. So if we're going way back, some of my first jobs, I was a bartender and a waitress for probably 7 years. And growing up, a lot of people find this hard to believe that have known me for my entire life. But growing up, I was really shy and really quiet, and I didn't like to talk to a lot of people. And then eventually that kind of, you know, I grew out of that and whatnot. And when you're a waitress and a bartender, you have to be on because you essentially want to make more money and tips, hopefully, and give them, you know, really good service. And working in the customer service space totally prepared me. And then when I was in college, I was an RA, which also helped. And then the camp counselor helped, because eventually when you're working in casting, all it is really is a lot of customer service and kind of being, you know, not the face, but like a voice of whatever show you're representing. And so everything that I did in my past jobs definitely helped me with casting and my skills today. My parents and all of their abilities and watching them kind of growing up and what they did, that also kind of helped mold me. But yeah, absolutely. Those, I don't think I would be where I'm at today if I didn't learn all of those skills growing up. I just don't see it.
What was the defining moment of actually getting into casting then? How did that actually come about?
So after I finished working for that summer program as a camp counselor, I just needed a job. And I'm sorry, not camp counselor. When I was finishing the show Las Vegas, I just needed another job. I had worked on the show Las Vegas for 9 months. They weren't sure if they were going to come back for another season and whatnot. And I was like, man, I just have to find a job. So I ended up randomly looking for production assistant jobs. And I found a listing for a casting assistant for this show. And I was like, I know nothing about this, but I'll apply. And I got a call and I went in for an interview. And I met with the two people that were running the show, or running the casting department for that show. And I was like, okay, this sounds cool. I honestly just took the job because I just needed a job to help pay rent and bills. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see what this is about. And it was the very first show that I ever worked on as a casting assistant was a show called Crowned, the Mother of All Pageants. And I think it was on, it was either the WB or CW back then, one of the two.
Okay.
And it was adult women and their adult grown daughters living in a mansion, basically competing in a pageant. And I worked on it. And then I went and I lived in the mansion with them for filming, which was a very eye-opening, interesting experience. And that was kind of the moment where I was like, man, this is actually a lot of fun. I get to meet people. And then when my supervisor at the time got another job shortly thereafter, he was like, do you want to come and work again as a casting assistant? And I was like, sure. So I did, I think, one or two more shows under him as a casting assistant. And then he bumped me up to an associate. And then I eventually just worked my way up. So yeah, that was my first bout with reality TV and casting. And at that point I was like, I like this and I feel like I'm good at it and I'm learning more. And it just kind of took off, and I never in my million wildest dreams would ever have thought that I would be doing this. But I mean, life throws curveballs at you and you just kind of, I just at least go with the flow. And I have been very fortunate to work on a lot of different projects. And again, I love what I do. So I'm really happy.
That's great. What does a casting assistant actually do?
So casting assistants, they are kind of like an executive assistant to the head of the department and the casting manager. They basically, at least on Shark Tank and a lot of the shows, they are kind of, for lack of a better word, like the paper pusher. So they process all of the applications that come in, and it varies show to show. But with Shark Tank specifically, they're going through every single piece of paper of the application, processing it, making sure that we have all the information, making sure that there's no glaring red flags or anything like that. And then they have to organize. So we have a giant Excel spreadsheet of everything, and they have to organize, at least on Shark Tank, they have to organize samples and submissions that come in, and they have to work on working with our editors who process all the videos that we have to get. So it's a very big organizational chart, basically, is what they're in charge of. They oversee potentially thousands of applicants across the board. And then they obviously work with me. But again, it varies show to show, because a casting assistant for another show may just only be an assistant, whereas they're not processing things. So it varies. But they have a lot of responsibility, at least on Shark Tank.
And what is your actual position?
So my title is the supervising casting producer. And essentially, I'm the head of casting for whatever show. Right now I'm on Shark Tank. I've been on the show since season one, and we are casting now for our 13th season, which we're really excited about. And I oversee the whole department. So we have a team of 13 people, which includes myself. I have producers and associates that call the entrepreneurs and get some information from people and help them through the process. And then I have a casting manager who processes more paperwork and all that fun stuff. And then we have editors. So it's a big department. It's a big thing. But my job is to kind of oversee all of that and make sure it's all running smoothly. And then I pitch companies to, or entrepreneurs or applicants for whatever show, to network executives.
Okay. So if somebody goes online and they enter their information to this link, it goes to your assistant first. Is that safe to say?
No, not at all. So the assistant doesn't see any of this. They get to deal with other stuff. This link is for if you're interested in applying for season 13 of casting for Shark Tank. We are casting now. We started casting about a month ago, and we'll be casting till probably the summer, like July-ish. So if they go to this website, if they're interested in applying for the show, they fill out a very quick form. It might be like 20 questions, some contact info, where their business is at, what stage, what they needed investment for. And then my team and I go through all of those online submissions and look at them and review them, talk to producers. And then obviously if producers want more information, then they move forward in the process and fill out really long applications and, you know, do that whole thing.
How long is the process from the time somebody fills out the casting paperwork to the time they actually get on the show? What is that total time roughly?
It's really hard to say, just because someone could apply in June and they may film a couple months later. So I can't put a timeline on anything. It's just kind of, I can say that the casting season opens in February and it closes in July, at least this year. And then we film later this summer. But then the season probably won't air until later this year into next spring. So there's a whole waiting game involved because not every entrepreneur, you know, will air, but if they do, it can be a long process. So top to bottom, it can be a couple months. The waiting game of seeing if they're going to air will add on some time. That's the best way I can kind of.
No, that's fine.
Break it down.
How many submissions do you get?
Each season of Shark Tank, we have anywhere from 20 to 30,000 applicants per year.
Out of those 20 or 30,000, how many get to the next step?
Oh, I have no idea. We don't put a cap. We don't have any sort of limit or number that we have to. There's a lot that make it to the next step, but it just varies season to season. We don't have quotas, which is really nice.
Does every entrepreneur get a shot at presenting their case?
So not every entrepreneur makes it into the tank. It's a very long process. There's a lot of steps, a lot of due diligence that we do also as a show as well. So unfortunately, not every entrepreneur makes it into the tank. But we actually just aired a company, her name is Kim Meckwood. She aired a couple of weeks ago. Her company is called Click and Carry. She applied 9 seasons in a row, 9 years. And wow. It eventually paid off. So we tell everyone, timing is everything. You know, if it doesn't work out 1 year, it may work out better the next year. A lot of entrepreneurs that come into our process may say, I was in your mix last year. Wow, I was not ready. Now I'm really ready. Because I think a big misconception is a lot of people think that they apply for the show, they fill out some paperwork, they figure out a pitch, and then they go in the tank. And it's not, there's so much more involved. We do a lot of, you know, helping and making sure everything is cleared and all that. So everyone kind of comes back a year later or 2 years later, and they're like, man, you really made me relook at my company, but also it helped me kind of grow. So even if you don't make it all the way through, we hope that the entrepreneurs can at least still learn something in the process. But unfortunately, the nature of the beast is that not everyone makes it in there.
How much vetting is done on the entrepreneur beforehand, before they even get to filming?
So we as a show have to do a lot of due diligence just because we have to due to, you know, many different reasons. But in terms of the actual deal and the due diligence, that's between the sharks and them. Again, we've already kind of pre-vetted it just to make sure there's no glaring flags. But that's the best answer I can give.
Do you have a favorite shark?
I mean, all the sharks have little things that they bring to the table. I honestly, and everyone's going to probably give me a lot of slack for this, I like all of them. I've actually become I've become closer with them. When we filmed season 12, we actually filmed in a bubble in Las Vegas at the Venetian Sands Hotel and Resort. And it was incredible. We had a really good experience. We had over 300 people there in the bubble. We were there for almost 30 days. Not one person tested positive, which was really great. But that said, I got to do a lot of the social media for ABC this season due to just a closed set and not having many people there. And I really got to you know, spend more time with the sharks, and they're all great in their own way. So I can't pick just one. I just have to say all of them, because they all have their quirks and, you know, pros and cons. I don't know if there's any cons, but like they all have their little things. And I don't know. I like all of them. I honestly couldn't pick one. And I know I'm going to get so much heat for that, but it is what it is.
Fair enough. And I'm sure at least one particular one will give you a lot of heat on that.
Probably. I'm sure Kevin will.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they do call him Mr. Wonderful for a reason.
That they do, yes.
Is he a cocky person?
Oh, gosh, no. No, Kevin's wonderful. Like, of course I say the word wonderful with two
Mr. He really is Mr. Wonderful.
But he really is. Like, Kevin is so smart. Like, sometimes he talks and I don't follow what he's saying just because I don't understand a lot of the companies and businesses that he's into. But he's super fun. He's really nice. Sure, he loves money and has his moments, you know, and whatnot. But none of the sharks are cocky at all. They're all very, very kind and intelligent people, because the nice thing about all of them and all of our entrepreneurs is they're all self-made. Like, they had to hustle and grind. So none of them think that they're on, you know, on this high horse. They are all very down to earth, very, very nice, considerate people.
Being reality TV, there's a stigma that people always think that all reality TV is scripted. Is that fair to say?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I think it's evolved. So something that I will say is, when I grew up and I was in high school, The Real World and Road Rules were two shows that I was hooked on. I wanted to go on the show. And then what's crazy is the art executive producer of Shark Tank helped create Road Rules. So when I met him and I was like, oh my God, you made the show that I was obsessed with when I was younger.
Yeah.
And then I remember also watching The Osbournes with Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon.
Sure.
And I remember when I found out that that show was a little more scripted, I was devastated. I was like, no.
Yeah.
And then I started working on other once I started working in the industry and started working on shows. Now, because there's so many different types of shows, they all kind of fall in their own category. So you have docu-shows, you have non-scripted shows like The Housewives. Those are, in my opinion, those are more non-scripted. You have reality, because the term reality is so broad now. It's not just like Shark Tank's reality, but then American Idol is reality, but then The Real World that's coming back is reality, and that's the one that kind of kicked it all off.
Absolutely. But
you have game shows, so you have competitive reality shows like The Voice. Shark Tank is a structured, non-scripted reality show. So I hope that the stigma is starting to go away a little bit, just because there's so many different categories that these shows land into that I don't think it's fair to just slap it on and say, oh, it's scripted, because Shark Tank is not scripted. The sharks know nothing about the companies or the entrepreneurs before they walk in, because we want to catch that genuine reaction on camera so that everyone can see it. And I mean, 90% of the time, it's the best reaction you've ever seen.
And thank you for answering my next question, because that was exactly it. I wanted to know if those sharks truly, it really was blind when they walk in.
Yep.
Really is.
100%. We have to, because again, the whole authenticity of our show holds on that. Yeah, the sharks know nothing. So obviously those pitches go on for much longer, and then we have to cut them down. But the sharks do not and cannot know anything about the company. We keep it very hush hush, top secret. And they only find out the person's first name as they're walking down the hallway, so that they can write it down and be like, okay, got it. I'm talking to Mindy. Got it. So they don't forget the entrepreneur's name, but they know zip. That's why those pitches take so long in real time.
And who gives them the name of who's walking through the doors?
Oh, well, sorry. I mean, like when the entrepreneur steps on the carpet, that's when they say, hey, I'm so-and-so.
Oh,
and
that's the first time.
The shark's starting to write. They're like, got it. Okay. Because that's when they start taking their notes. Yeah.
I gotcha. I didn't know if it was a casting person that said, this is Mike walking through. Okay.
Nope.
Interesting. Are you involved with entrepreneurs after the filming?
Great question. So from a casting perspective, we basically we try to help them through the casting process. And then once they make it to the next step, I guess, to working with producers a little bit more in depth on their pitch and everything, we essentially say, okay, good luck. Like, you've graduated from casting. Now you're moving on. So we have nothing to do with them after they're done. And as a show, once they're done in the tank, the only real follow-up that they may get from us as a show is updates on their numbers, or if we're going to, you know, film an update on their company or find out if they closed the deal or whatnot. But other than that, it's kind of it. Like, once they're done filming and then they go home, they, you know, wait and see if they're going to air. And then if they've done a deal, then they do that whole due diligence process with the Sharks. And that's strictly between them and the Sharks, because it's the Sharks' money. And we just say, you know, here you go. And then they take it from there.
So really, correct me if I'm wrong, Mindy, that you're involved up until they film. Once it's filmed, casting kind of pulls back and that's it.
Casting actually pulls back much earlier, but the show and the producers, once they're done filming, then we're kind of, because that's all we do is then we go and cut the episode. So that's pretty much wrapped up at that point.
What are you actually personally doing on set then?
I get to watch the pitches.
You do?
I do. I've sat through almost every single pitch. Two years ago, I missed a bit of filming for the first time in 11 years because I was working on another show and I had to go to Fiji for 6 weeks and film that. So I missed a couple of pitches, but otherwise I get to sit back and watch. But at the same time, I'm also making sure that, like, if they somehow decide that they want to offer another company or entity with one company that they're already pitching, then I just have to make sure that their paperwork is all up to date. But at that point, it's pretty much done. So I can kind of just sit back and watch the show and Entrepreneurs and just see what happens.
Where do you actually sit?
I sit backstage.
So backstage watching on a TV monitor.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Do you enjoy that part?
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's the best, because when we used to have open calls before COVID, you got to meet a lot of entrepreneurs in person. I miss open calls. I hope that we get to do them again someday, because that energy, it's like nothing you've ever felt. People are excited and, you know, just ready to pitch and everything. So when you get to see entrepreneurs so early in the process, make it all the way through, and then if they come out of the tank and you get to go congratulate them, it's like no other feeling. You're just like, man, I can't wait to see where this is going to go and how you're going to do. So it's the best part of my job, is being able to watch those pitches and see what happens.
Where is the show filmed?
Typically we film in Los Angeles. For season 12, we did move to the Venetian in Las Vegas because we had to create a bubble due to COVID and the pandemic. But most of the time, all other seasons have been in Los Angeles.
And is that studio used for other shows?
Yes. I mean, we typically film on the same lot, but, you know, there's all kinds of other shows and movies that film all over Los Angeles. There's so many.
Do you find that watching backstage is authentic to what the public would see on TV?
I guess, what do you mean?
Well, you get to watch the show in its raw form, mm-hmm. right? You get to see the pitch in its rarest, rawest form. When I watch it, or the public watches it, we get to see the edited version. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes an edited version is very polished and looks great. And there's a reason for that behind TV or any editing process, right? Whether it's music or film. However, when something is edited, it sometimes can change the way something is conveyed.
I see.
Right?
Yeah.
So do you have that same feeling sitting backstage as one that might not have that gift of sitting behind the stage watching? Do you have that same feeling as one of us?
Well, I mean, yes. I don't even know how to answer that. The funny thing is, everyone says, like, oh, do you watch the pitches? And it's like, yeah, I sit through everyone backstage, but I also watch them when they air. I watch them all the time. I record them on Friday nights, or sometimes I watch them live on Friday nights, which is always fun. I love to watch them back. A lot of people say, oh, I want to watch an unedited version. And it's like, that could be 90 minutes for one pitch. Like, because these are long. If you think about it, it's really a business meeting that we're filming.
absolutely
spiced up a little bit for television, obviously. But I would say that I think Shark Tank is very true and authentic. So if someone forgets their pitch, we air that, and we have. If Mr. Wonderful doesn't like it and says, you know, whatever wonderful things he wants to say, we show that. I mean, there was a company on years ago that basically put Mr. Wonderful down and he cussed at them, and we were shocked, and we aired it because that is what happened. So we don't cut things to make someone look a certain way like other shows might, but we do have to cut a lot of stuff out because maybe it's boring and a lot of business talk isn't that exciting.
Sure.
And you have to try and make something like this interesting. And there are a lot of exciting pitches. So I would say that, you know, it's very true. But again, to go from a long pitch down to what we actually end up airing, I mean, that is our amazing producers and editors who do most of that, because I don't.
Right. Well, and that's, I guess, what I'm getting at is, so for someone like yourself who has the luxury of seeing the unedited version and the edited version, and you compare those two, there has to be certain entrepreneurs that would stick out in your mind because you might remember them and you might vaguely remember their pitch. However, let's face it, we all have favorites. We all have certain ones that we might really connect with in a certain way, or even on a personal level during your casting process, that you really connected with maybe some woman that came through that you really liked and you got really excited to see her pitch. And then you get to see that edited version and you're like, you know, this portrayed the whole 90 minutes really well in 8 minutes that we actually edited it down to, right?
To be totally honest with you, because so much time passes and I sit through so many, by the time it airs, I'm like, oh, I forgot that. Like,
really?
So, well, if you think about it, I'm watching thousands of pitches a season. Not even filming wise, just daily, I watch thousands of pitches that come through. So by the time I get to filming, and then by the time they cut those episodes and they air, I've forgotten most of it because I'm just like in a cloud of, oh, that's right. So kind of watching it over, I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, cool. Like, it's kind of seeing it again for the first time because I don't remember it.
Right. Is the schedule grueling of filming?
Well, filming and casting are two very different schedules. So again, filming for me is not my peak season. My peak season is now. So I can, you know, for the producers, they have a lot of work. But by that point for casting, our hard work is done at that point by the time they get to filming because we've gone through. So right now is like my playoff game and like my Super Bowl. Like I have to be on my game. So before COVID hit, when we were traveling every week, like we would travel probably once a week on average for 3 months, give or take. Again, that's on average, to all these different cities across the country to do open calls. And I mean, when you're doing an open call in the bigger cities like LA and New York, we were doing interviews for 12, 13, 14 hours in one day. And we would run 5 interview tables at a time, sometimes 6. And I think the latest we ever went one time for an open call was we were interviewing until midnight in Atlanta. And then another time in Miami years ago, we had over 700 pitches, which was about 1,400 people to get through in one day. And when you, because we have no idea how many people would show up to those open calls. You could have 200, you could have 2,000.
Right.
So those days were long and you get to a point where you're like, I need more coffee. Did I ask this question already? Because you just kind of ask similar questions to every person. Now that everything is virtual and online, we do have long days, but it's not 12 hours a day. Like that's the upside to working from home and doing this digitally is that everyone can apply online. I still have thousands of applicants to go through. But the hours are not as grueling as they used to be before COVID when we would travel. And I try and pride myself on, there's no reason to have anyone work crazy long hours unless we have to. So for the most part, we try to keep regular hours of like, you know, they're still longer than 8 hours a day, but
right.
it just varies of where you are in the casting schedule, to be honest.
Fair enough. Is there certain criteria when you're going through a application?
So the biggest thing that everyone asks is, what do I need to get on Shark Tank? The minimum should be at least a working prototype. If you have just an idea, it's too soon, more than likely, because you don't really have anything tangible and tactical to present to the the sharks and our viewers. So at the bare minimum, you should at least have a working prototype. A great example was the Comfy guys. They came in, they actually pitched us at an open call in Denver, and they were fun. And then they sent us one of their prototypes so we could try it out. And we sent it back because they only had like two or three prototypes. And then when they came onto the show, we have five sharks on every panel and they only had four. They didn't even have enough to go around.
Wow.
Now they've done over 200 million in sales, I think, since they've done a deal with Barbara. I mean, now they've gone on TikTok, like they've gone viral again. So I'm sure their sales are going through the roof. So you should at least have a working prototype to be considered. Anything less, just an idea, it might be a little too early to come in. But you can still apply and see. But I would suggest at least having that working prototype.
You mentioned that you worked on American Idol. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What was that like?
So I was hired for a couple days to work their open call. This was, oh my gosh, this was 2006, I believe. So it was a long time ago. And I remember I had to be there really early in the morning. It was still dark out. It was at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And I got there. I didn't know anyone. It was like my first big, real gig. And I just remember being like, I'll do whatever. I had to hand out, I was a production assistant for the open call. So I had to just hand out releases to everyone to make sure that they signed it before they went. And I got so sunburned that day. I was like, man, this is exhausting, but it was cool and exciting to see what a giant process and machine right. that is. So I was really thankful for that experience because it was a real eye opener to see a show at that level of that caliber then when it was at its peak of just like everyone was watching and they were filling stadiums. It was like, whoa. So that's all I did. I just worked an open call for them, but it was really exciting. I loved it.
Are you involved in Jeopardy?
So I was very fortunate to work with the Jeopardy team recently. We have been working on the Jeopardy National College Championship, and we were looking for students who are currently in college to see if any of them are good enough to go and do their national championship. So I don't know when it's going to air because I know with COVID and everything, they still have to, you know, figure out all the logistics, but I was very fortunate to work on it, and it was a blast. Unfortunately, a week into starting work there, Alex Trebek passed away. And it was very much felt throughout the industry, especially with that show. But just to be part of such an iconic show, it was just like, I was so humbled and honored to be a tiny part of it. And everyone over at the Jeopardy team is fantastic. And I am hopeful that the show happens because I think it'll be really exciting.
Do you have a person that you would like to see take over Alex's hosting duties?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, they have all these guest hosts right now that are so great. I don't want to speak on that just because I don't know, but I'm sure whoever they do tap permanently, if they get to that point, has some pretty special shoes to fill. But I know that Alex wanted them to continue forward, and I think it's really special what they're doing, and I think it's a great honor for Alex.
Did you ever meet Alex?
No, I never got to meet him. I did see him on the Sony lot a couple times on a golf cart, driving by, and I was like, oh, it's Alex Trebek. So it was cool to see him, but I never got to meet him, unfortunately.
Is Mindy Kaling hired by the Shark Tank ABC, I presume, to do the casting part?
Yeah, so we're all freelance. So they essentially tap me to return, hopefully, each season to bring on, you know, my team. And, you know, we're all freelance, really, in the casting world. A lot of us are not in-house. Some people are. They have kind of permanent jobs or they're on a contract for a certain amount of time. But I'm hired technically by MGM and their production company who produces it. And then ABC airs it. Sony owns technically the Shark Tank brand.
Right. Are you open to other types of casting calls for other shows?
Oh, yes. I mean, I've cast, like I mentioned before, I did a show, or not a show. I actually worked on a docuseries for Amazon Prime a couple of years ago called World's Toughest Race Eco Challenge Fiji. And I was fortunate to go to Fiji for, I believe it was 6 weeks. And it was, this race was actually started by Mark Burnett back in the late 90s. And it aired on Discovery a little bit and MTV, maybe ESPN for one season. And he brought it back with Bear Grylls. And it is first and foremost an epic adventure race, kind of like Indiana Jones with a stopwatch. And it was grueling. We had over 350 competitors from, I believe it was 29 or 30 countries around the world. And we all went to Fiji and they had to, it was a 10-day race, 24 hours a day. And if they wanted to stop racing, they could, but they would sleep in the jungle. And it's not like everyone's like, oh, a race, like amazing race. And I'm like, no, that's not nowhere near what that was. You go watch it on Amazon Prime and it'll show you exactly what all those athletes went through. Best experience of my life. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I don't know if we're going to do another one. We're hoping that it'll happen again someday. But that wasn't casting. That was, I oversaw the Department of Competitor Relations. But I've done other shows. I did obviously Jeopardy and some other shows that, oh my goodness, I am blanking on. But there's a whole laundry list of shows that I've been fortunate to work on. So yeah, I mean, Shark Tank for me, I'm very fortunate. I work on that for about 8 to 9 months every season. Fingers crossed that that continues. But then in my hiatus from Shark Tank, I try to go and work on other shows like Jeopardy and everything else.
And how do you potential employers find you?
So that's a great question. It's weird in our industry because it's kind of about who you know and if they've heard of you. And if you've done a good job, hopefully someone will recommend you. There's people that I'll email, just cold email my resume. But also at the same time, I've been fortunate to have been recommended to executives to say, hey, Mindy has this background. She might be good for what you're looking for. And then, you know, they hire me, hopefully. And then we hopefully knock it out of the park.
Word of mouth still rules is what you're saying.
In our industry, I think it's a strong way still. Yes.
Yes. So Mark Burnett, it seems like any interesting reality TV show he has had a hand in. Fair to say?
I would say, yeah, for sure.
I mean, brilliant.
He really is. I have had the fortunate, not for, I have had the pleasure of meeting and working with Mark a bunch of times on some shows. I'm in awe of him. He is truly amazing at what he does. And I've learned a lot just by watching him because, you know, he's a very busy man, quite successful. And there's a lot to learn from someone like him. And it's just really fascinating because besides John Murray, who created Real World with, I'm blanking on his wife's name now, but Bunim and Murray had Real World that came out first. Burnett was kind of one of the front leaders with Survivor. And then everything kind of went from there. But I mean, his show, everyone knows his shows. Like that's the really cool thing about working for someone like that.
What would you say his biggest asset is? What is it that you look up to? I'm not saying for you to judge him, but what is it about him that you being in that industry, you go, Mark is
he's great. Mark is just brilliant. He's so creative. His brain works so fast. And I'm like, man, I wish I was like, I am more a logistics and organization person. I'm a type A like that. So to watch someone just creatively come out with stuff almost at the drop of a hat, I'm jealous, first of all. And it's just, it's magical. Like he's just, I don't know, you kind of get caught up in watching him and listening to him because he's just so creative. It's just fascinating to watch.
And that would be in the role of a producer, correct?
Yeah.
What do you want people to know about the Shark Tank?
The great thing about Shark Tank is that you can be anywhere in your business and you might be a good fit. If you have a working prototype or you've done millions of dollars in sales, or if you land somewhere in between, there potentially is a spot for you on the show in the tank. And everyone has a different story. And every person is different. And that's what we like to celebrate, is we love to celebrate the American entrepreneur, the American dream, if you will. Everyone is hustling and giving up things to try and get somewhere with their business that they believe in. And the nice thing that the sharks can resonate with and can kind of connect with these entrepreneurs is, I've been there. I've been in your shoes. I've given up everything. I lived in an apartment with seven people and ate peanut butter and ketchup sandwiches or whatever the case is. They can relate. It's not like they're coming in and saying, oh, I've made all this money and I'm too good. They want to help people. And that's what's great. And especially when the pandemic hit this past season, you could see just all these entrepreneurs had so much passion. And for me, seeing that passion and energy come out and being relayed to across the country to all of the viewers is just something you can't replicate. And it's really like, that's why I love being part of the show, is because you're working with special people for a good cause. And even if they don't get a deal, you know, their sales usually still go up and hopefully they have a good experience and everything. And, you know, I just want everyone to know that even if it doesn't work out the first time you apply, you can still apply and it might work out. Because as cliche as it sounds, timing really is everything, especially with Shark Tank. But also, I think just in life, I think now hopefully a lot more people understand that, given the pandemic and whatnot, that timing really plays a factor in everything.
Is there anything that I should have asked that you wish I would have asked that you can answer?
I'll just say that we, oh, hi, Dudley. Go sit. You know, again, we're casting for season 13 for Shark Tank. We're really interested in finding hungry, passionate entrepreneurs who need an investment to get to the next step, whatever that next step may be. And everyone asks, you know, if they want to go to that website to, you know, apply, everyone's asking, well, what do I need to do? What do I need to include? And I would say, keep it bullet points, very succinct, but be able to tell us what sets you apart from any other competitors, X, Y, Z. But also include a couple notes about who you are, because Shark Tank is 50% about you, the person behind the business, and 50% about what the business is. So if you've seen the show, you know, we want to know what you've given up or what you've had to do to get here, because that resonates with almost everyone. Like, yeah, I've been there. I've been in those shoes, or I have a similar experience and stuff. So I just want everyone to know, keep the bullet points succinct. More information can come out later. Only apply one time. You don't need to reply repeated times, just because it'll, you know, clog up the system, if you will.
Per season.
And it can take a little bit for us to obviously sift through all of those applications, but, you know, hopefully we'll call some people with some good news.
Awesome. And they can go to that website address, right, to enter.
Yep.
And if they want to find Mindy on Facebook, they can find Mindy here on Facebook. And by all means, please share where else they can find Mindy.
Yeah. So I, on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, it's at Mindy Casting. I am more prone to answering on Instagram just because I'm using it the most. And I try to get to all the DMs, but there are a lot. So please be kind.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Find us on YouTube and Facebook at the Intellectual People Podcast and online at theintellectualpeoplepodcast.com. Check back for exciting new episodes.